For more than 20 years, mifepristone was widely and safely used as a drug in medication abortions. Now its status is unclear after conflicting federal court rulings late last week. So what's it mean for access to this drug and where these cases go now? Joining us is Mary Ziegler, legal historian and law professor at the University of California, Davis. Her book is Dollars for Life, The Anti-Abortion Movement and the Fall of the Republican Establishment. Mary, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Lots to untangle legally. First, can you help us understand the Texas ruling from Judge Matthew Kaczmarek, Trump appointee? What is his reasoning to invalidate the FDA approval of mifepristone?
Sure, there were kind of two bases. First, he said that under the Federal Comstock Act, which is an anti-vice law from the 19th century, that it would be a federal crime to mail mifepristone. Now, that federal law has fallen into disuse, using it may be unconstitutional. Not everyone agrees with this interpretation, but that was one basis. The second basis was that the FDA lacked the authority to approve mifepristone in 2000 because it had relied, in his view, on faulty science. So there were kind of two independent grounds.
In a separate case in Washington State, the judge Thomas Rice, an Obama appointee, ordered the FDA to keep this drug on the market. So with these conflicting rulings, what does it mean for access right now to mifepristone?
Well, we're still kind of waiting to see what the FDA actually says and it's going to do. In the short term, the FDA is most likely to say, essentially, we can't comply with both of these rulings, and the closest we can come is to leave the status quo in place, essentially to say, when mifepristone becomes unapproved, if Kaczmarek's ruling doesn't change in the 7-day window he provided for appeal, we're going to use our discretion to leave the status quo in place until we get a definitive ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court, which I think we're going to have to get because this has produced a lot of chaos.
What do we know about the plaintiffs in Texas, how they pulled off this legal strategy to get this ruling?
Yeah, some of this has to do with judge shopping. The district courts in Texas are set up in such a way that if you file a suit, for example, in Dallas, there are any number of district judges you could appear before. There is only one judge in the district for Amarillo, that's Matthew Kaczmarek, who's widely viewed as, I think, the most sympathetic to the anti-abortion movement, or at least predicted to be. And so there was a choice made by the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine and the Alliance Defending Freedom, just the lawyers behind this, to seek out Judge Kaczmarek, believing that he would be a sympathetic ear.
Yeah. And finally, let me ask you about the FDA. It is no stranger to politics, say with vaccines or other political debates here. But what are the implications for the FDA to potentially undermine its expertise, its authority to decide which drugs are safe for all of us?
Well, I think there's really a danger here that if Judge Kaczmarek's ruling stands, that it'll open a door to challenges of other drugs that people don't like or find divisive, whether that's gender-affirming therapies, COVID vaccines, because there simply wasn't new evidence here. A lot of the studies and claims that the ADF relied on here had been around for some time. Judge Kaczmarek just bought the arguments, right? Essentially, they relitigated the science before Judge Kaczmarek, and he took their side. And that sets a precedent that others who don't like conclusions reached by the experts at FDA can replicate that feat. So there's a real possibility that the FDA's authority will be undermined going forward.
Mary Ziegler is a legal historian and law professor at the University of California, Davis. Mary, thank you again.
Thanks for having me.